Well, I want to say welcome to the noon Tuesday Bible study here at Cross Culture Church. This is your podcast teacher, Minister Gerald Alford. And we're here with a great group and finishing up the very last chapter of John, which is the 21st chapter. And we're going to finish this up, the Lord willing, and then do just a quick overview of what John has endeavored to tell us through this book about who Jesus is. And he has done an excellent job. Amen. And so as we get into chapter 21, Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, appeared to his disciples and discovered unto them by miraculous drought, and is discovered unto him by miraculous drought of fishes. He dined with them, his charge to Peter, and then his death foretold. So let's jump right on in it. All right. In chapter 21, Christ the Lord is displayed as the restorer of the penitent, those that are hurting and need to be revived. Verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. Now, we already know that he's been crucified, and so now he's back revealing to them. 2, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and the two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. They said unto him, we also go with you. They went forth, entered into a ship, and immediately that night they caught what? They caught nothing. But the morning now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was him. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? And they answered, no. And he said unto them, cast your net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for a multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt Fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Interesting. 8, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. Had to get some help. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fish laid thereon and bread. And Jesus said unto him, bring of the fish which you have now caught. Questions.
It's funny that they didn't recognize his voice like Mary did.
Ah. Any other comments?
They sure did get naked a lot.
Is that just a metaphor or what?
Well, I want to know. That's an interesting comment. Let me share with you you have to look at it from the time they only had robes,
right,
and wraparounds. That was basically one move of dress. When they were working, it they were encumbered by clothes, mm-hmm, with being wrapped around, and the way they were when you're out fishing, because you got to be able to get down in the water. When you have clothes and they get wet, they get even more cumbersome to deal with. So it wasn't, I want you to understand where they were. They were not on the ground. They were not walking around in the town naked. That's not what was going on. They were out there catching fish, and so they had to operate, you know, in a vein that was easier for them. They were just men there. It wasn't like there was somebody going to be offended by it. They out there trying to do what they got to do, which our morality and their morality was just a hair bit different. I mean, when you got a bunch of guys around, they got to do what they got to do. Ain't nobody standing around ogling over your body. They out there just trying to hustle. So I just want you to understand it. If you're looking at it and say, boy, they did. But, and then again, you think about, and I don't know whether you were thinking about it like this, the time when Jesus took his garments off. You were thinking about that.
I still couldn't receive that he was naked. You know, I guess naked, what I know of naked, you know.
Right, but I want you to understand why he did that. Being transparent at the time, what he did was... he let them know all the way down to the lowest common denominator that he was a servant of all. And it did say actually what he did. He got down. He had girded himself, so he wasn't really totally naked. Mm-hmm. You know, he took his clothes off, but he kind of girded himself. And then the other parts of his garments he used to dry the feet and all of that. So it wasn't that his loins was just all out. Yeah. But he did say, hey, I am human, and I want you to understand that you are too. And this is a part of being human, that you serve others, which means don't do it out of a hidden motive or having some sort of agenda, but be open and being free. That word naked, I want us to understand, is free from encumbrances and not any hidden agendas. So let's just look at being naked as that, being transparent, being not of any ulterior motives or have anything hidden, but you should not be ashamed of what you're saying or who you are as a person. All right. Okay. So I'm just, and that's a good point. That's a good point. I also wanted to just make sure that what they were doing was working, and clothes the clothes that they had was not fine silk and linen. It was, you know, burlap and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So once that stuff got wet, you know, dealing with the fish, it got to be a little bit harder to contend with.
I have a
question.
Well, a statement. They didn't know who this man was standing on the shore, and yet they did not question him. They didn't know it was Jesus. But for somebody that you don't know hollers out to you, throw your net on the other side, and they did it. Mm-hmm. Not knowing that this was Jesus. You know, nobody said, well, who is this? And why did they do what he told them to do, and they didn't know who he was?
Anybody want to answer that?
I feel, even though they did know they might not have known who he was at the time, just his voice, his words, when he speaks, something has to happen. And so the power is in his word, you know. Even though you can't see him, you might not know him, but the power is in his word. When he speak for, you know, he said his word will produce something, so. As he spoke, they were commanded to do, you know, even though they didn't know who he was. There's power.
I can accept. Mm-hmm.
Anybody else?
And that's like the lady who touched his garment. There was so much power in him that even when she touched the hem, the power was there, mm-hmm. You know, and that's the power of his word, because his word is life and light.
All right, I want y'all to understand this from a very natural humanistic part. She just dealt with a spiritual aspect of the power that was in his voice. You're only on that shore because, number one, you either want to wash, take a bath, or whatever it is. Two, you're either a fisherman of some sort. I mean, nobody just really stood around the shore. Now they had been out there fishing, so they hadn't caught nothing. And if somebody says to you, hey, maybe you are out there trying to get something on that side, you know, try this side. Now here was the question that he posed to him. And look at his words. He said, children, have you any meat? So now here's somebody that's calling out to them, said, hey, y'all got anything yet? The answer was no. Now, at that point, would you not be receptive even if you didn't know them? If they called and asked and said, hey, y'all ain't caught anything? And they said no, would you not be receptive? If they said, hey, why don't you try over on the other side? Would you not do it? Would you say, hey, who are you? We've been out here all night, because we know that's been said before. Mm-hmm. But now they know not to ask that kind of question, right? Mm-hmm. If somebody makes a suggestion to them, hey, if you hadn't caught anything all night, because it's morning time. They've been out there all night trying to catch something. Here's somebody on the shore, say, you got anything? Man, they all disappointed. No, we ain't got nothing. He said, well, what he said? Cast your net on the right side then, and then what? You shall find. I would have tried it. Mm-hmm. In the natural, I would have. I've been out there all night long, and somebody asked me, man, you ain't been fishing. Now, and only reason I can say that, because I'm a fisherman, all right? I like to fish for bass and you know, I like crappie and all of that. Now, each one of those fish I just named, you got to have different lures and things to get them. And I'm just going to use the bass for an example. With bass, you got five different kind of lures you got to use to try to get them. They may not be biting at worms, at the gummy worms today. They might be wanting a little shimmery thing. They might want the trinkets. They might want to, if they don't want that, they want the little small fish, the little minnows that are not really minnows, but they look like minnows. They might want that. So if I'm out here and I've been out all day trying to get bass, I see them, I can't get them. They like to hang around roots and stuff, and they right along the edge, and you got to have the right thing to get them. And somebody comes up and said, bruh, you got it? You done got any of them bass yet? And I said, man, I've been out here all afternoon. I done got about tired. He said, why don't you try a runner this time, which is the one that got the little things on the end. When you throw them out there and pull them back, they spin and they make a lot of noise and they look real cute. Mm-hmm. He said, why don't you try that? You think I'm going to say, bruh, I've been out here fishing all day, man. I done tried all the rest of the stuff, but I hadn't tried that. I would take that into consideration. Because if that's going to work, I'm going to try it. So, you know, I think this is what's going on right here. Number one, he addressed them in a very interesting way. He called them children. Now, these grown men out here fishing. He called them children. Then he told them to do, he said, and not only did he say cast to the right side, what was the other part of that statement? You shall find. He didn't say try it over there and let's hope that you can catch some fish. He said put it on the right side and then you're going to find it. That's even more reason why I would take it and go for it. Anybody else?
I think that Jesus had a way that nobody else had, even when I read his words today. He can just say something in a few words and make it so plain and simple. And I'm like, I can't even express myself that way. So even in his expression, who would even come that way and just ask you something like that? You know, it's just extraordinary that he had a way with people just to hit them right where they were. You know, and you're like, wow. It would take me all day to explain that. Mm-hmm. And he said it in a few words.
And see, they were in a different place than we are. So, I mean, we can look and say, well, I'm going to ask, who is this? You know, back then, it wasn't a whole lot of robbing and stealing and you know, mugging and hijacking, right? And hijacking. So, I mean, it's a little bit of a different thing.
They were a little bit freer.
All right. Verse 11. Okay, verse 10, Jesus said unto him, bring of the fish which you have now caught. All right, 11, Simon Peter went up, drew the net to land full of, and look, not only little fish, full of great fish, he said, 153 and all, there were so many, yet was not the net broke. Mm. All right, verse 12, Jesus said unto him, come and dine, and none of the disciples did ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Now this is now third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, and that after he was what?
Raised from the dead.
Raised from the dead. Now, I know you all are asking that question. Y'all asked it one time. Here we are talking about it again. It's the third time he showed himself and they didn't recognize who he was. We do really truly know why they didn't recognize him, right? He was in an in between spiritual and physical state. He had not yet gone to the Father. He had when he died and went to hell, Hades. When he went down to preach to those that were in Abraham's bosom and all the rest of those who had not had a chance to accept Christ, he had to be in the form to do that.
But not glorified, not a glorified body.
He had not yet been glorified, so he was like in between.
But not recognizable by the human eye as the one who died.
Right, right. It was still him. I would venture to say that it's just me. I don't have a whole lot of backing in this. I'm just thinking in my mind that it was in a come and go kind of situation to me. Because if you're in between the spirit and in between the flesh, there's not going to be a whole lot of, well, you know, your eyes are blue and you know what I'm talking about? Your hair's curly and straight. I'm just saying that we do not have any idea of what that is. In our own little thing, we think about a spirit being is one that floats around and you don't really see feet, you know, and it's just, I mean, we got a lot of different views of how a spirit look. But then then it says some of us have entertained angels unaware. So then again, you know, that it can whatever form is necessary to be recognized is what it is. I mean, we are frail in our own ideas and not, you know, what we think about things as being. So, you know, I tell you, I might not have known who he was either. I don't know. But by the voice, to me, like Betty said, the voice and the terms that he used and the way he spoke was recognizable. I think.
Oh, yeah, his power there.
I think.
I have on this, the boat. I used to use that as a parable a lot of times. I used to teach on it, and this is a great example of obedience, you know, having faith and being obedient. Because when he asked them to do that, you know, they could not. Like we of today, when asked to do something, things that we don't do, we don't know the blessings he has for us because we didn't do it. And so this obedience, because they were obedient, they reap the benefits of just doing what God told them to do.
And that's what we do with our children.
Yep.
To reap the benefit of being obedient.
Right.
Well, we hope that's the case. I hear stories of folk blessing them and they ain't been obedient. Just because they my kids, I'm going to be good to them even though they've been bad, you know. I didn't have that luxury. If I was bad, I didn't get nothing.
I got beat down by
And look, even if I didn't get the beat down, I didn't get to do what I wanted to do. Okay. Afterwards, it's like, oh, you really think you're going to do that? Not. You're not getting ready to do that. I was looking at a movie, and the young guy had been gone. He didn't tell his mama where he was. He came home. He went to cut the TV on. She's like, oh, no, no. No. You've been gone all this time. I didn't know where you was. You think you would come home and play a video game? Because I don't think so. But you know, hey, that's just how it is. All right, let's move on. I love it. You guys got some good comments here. So when they had dined or eaten, I break bread, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, Lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that that I love thee. And he said unto him, what? Feed my lambs. Now, as I have always stated and shall continue until the Lord take me home, I want you all to look at this and see if you can put yourself in this. If the scriptures were written for our admonition, right?
Right.
And if the word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? And if you are a disciple, if you are a follower of God, and he asks you, do you love me? Your answer is what? Okay, I heard one, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Y'all, did y'all think that was a trick question? No, that wasn't a trick question. Oh, you who all are listening to this podcast, that was not a trick question. Okay, so then you would say, yeah, and then hopefully you would say, Lord, you know I love you. Now, how would the Lord know that you love him? Because one, you spend time with him. Two, being a disciple, you've been obedient, right? We just talked about, you know, being obedient, right? You paid attention, and so, you know that there's words of wisdom coming. Then he says, feed my lambs. Now, you all, when you put yourself in it, does that mean that you got to be a preacher?
No.
Okay. What does it mean? For you. I mean, individually. I'm just asking y'all a question, because if I'm asking you to put yourself in it, And the words that the Lord was asking you was telling you to feed his lambs. How does that work for you? Now, don't look at me, because I already know what my I'm just the administrator here. You can't put me in it, because I'm already doing that. But how do you see yourself as a
Christ,
disciple to
Christ,
do that?
Share Christ with him.
Be his witness.
Be a witness.
And go out into all the world and preach the gospel. So I'm thinking, preach don't necessarily mean that, you know, you up over the pulpit, you know. I think mm-hmm. it means that you can get out and witness and, you know, share your testimony with others.
Okay.
We are to love one another and love mm-hmm. each other in such a way that unbelievers can see something different about us as Christians, how we love and how we sacrifice mm-hmm. for one another as well.
Okay.
I like to let that light shine to where a person, the experiences I have had within the last 10 years, that people will approach me without me, a perfect stranger will come up to me and ask me to pray for them. So I would like to think that I am living a life so that light. I was brought up in the church where we used to sing this song, This Little Light of Mine.
We don't sing that no more, do we?
Yeah.
So I'm going to let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine.
And so many times now lately that people will approach me, lady, will you pray for me?
See?
See? They just automatically just come up to you and just,
yeah.
They see your light.
Or they'll ask me for money. I never forget one time this man asked me for some money, and I said, now, there were at least five people ahead of me that passed before I got to you. Why didn't you stop them?
Okay.
And he said, because of the smile on your face.
Mm-hmm.
It was your facial expression is why I asked you and not the other people.
Okay.
So that's why I'm thankful that light is shining in me. And then Pastor Walker taught us years ago that when a person does stop you, ask you to pray for them, that you do it right then.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whereas before, I would have said, yeah, and wait till I got home or mm-hmm. that Sunday. Mm-hmm. But I never will forget that particular Sunday mm-hmm. when Pastor said, when somebody does approach you, you do it right then.
Y'all ready for a wrench?
Uh-oh.
Those were all great comments. It said, feed my lambs.
Mm-hmm.
His lambs.
Right.
Those that were following him.
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all not get that?
Mm-hmm.
You really did? Okay. Now I want you to know, we're going to get even more deeper into what he's saying here as we read on, but I just wanted to see whether you all saw what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a lot that go into that because the Father knows already who are his.
Okay.
As we have read, y'all probably forgot it. He says, I have been given sheep.
Right.
They know my name.
Mm-hmm.
They gonna follow my voice.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm just bringing back to your remembrance and think about what he's saying now.
So the sheep are his disciples?
Listen, it says lambs.
Lambs.
Now I want you to understand what a lamb is. A lamb is the sacrificial one. The lamb is young that they were using for sacrifice. I'm going deep now, but I want you to understand what I'm saying. There are some of us that are going to be sacrificed. There are some of us that are going to be out here that are going to have to take a little more than others. All right. So I'm just saying, he said, those that are close, those that you're going to need to feed them. Did you not know that the apostles got murdered? Did they not get assaulted? Were they not boiled and turned upside down and filleted and without getting too graphic, I want you to understand what he's saying. Feed my lambs. Let me move on further. Now it's going to make sense to you. 16. He said to him again the second time, Simon, and son of Jonas, loveth thou me? Who is he talking to there? He's talking to the one that was the beloved, right?
Right.
He's talking to the one that had put his head in his chest. He's talking about the one that was with him when everybody else was standing off, and also the one that ran at the same time, right? So are you that one? Are you that one that close? Are you that one that you're doing the best you can, but sometimes you get scared and run? But then you still got that love and you come back and you repent. Is that you? That's me. Yeah, I may not want to be it, but hey, I miss it some too. But I believe that I'm that beloved one. Love thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said to him, feed my sheep. I have a study Bible, and it had in here on the side, sheep there was God's flock. And for the lambs part, it says children, lambs of the fold, children, young, those that are just coming in, not being able to grasp all of it, but are coming in, being drawn in. Just like you become a babe in Christ when you first get saved, right?
Right.
You're young and tender. You really need to be taken more care of than one who's a little bit more seasoned. You can pretty much say what you need to say to them, but those that are young, you got to care for them. You know, they're gonna make mistakes, and you got to be there and comfort them and help them in their walk and journey, right? So now he's addressing the young, those that are just coming, those who are just following Christ, that have just now received it, and it's all yay, 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 but yet are not strengthened when somebody come and hit them in the head and dog them out and everything. You know, he said, look, you're going to have to take care of them. You're going to have to feed them on what it's going to take that they can grow into sheep. Now he's saying, I want you to take care of my sheep, which is God's flock, and giving him a minister's duty, which is our duty. We got to take care of one another. It's our job to be conscious. Not only that, the word of God says that he looks for one that will stand in the gap, make up the hedge, and be there for one another. That's part of our job. Do you realize we got a big job as being Christians?
Mm-hmm. Big job.
I mean, look, when God called you, he equipped you with everything that you needed to do what he asked you to do. You got a heart that's big enough to love all. You got strength to be able to deal with all. Huh? You got the resilience. And even if you fall, 1 John 1:9 said, what? If you confess that sin and faithful and just, know that faithful and just forgiveness and cleanse you and get back into the fight. Right. Right. You got the resilience to bounce back. And you got the Holy Ghost. See, y'all thought y'all going to make me preach, but it ain't going to happen. All right. 17. He said unto him the third time, Simon, you love me? He was grieved because now you done heard it the third time. He said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love you. Then Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Feed them. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest hither, walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be what?
Old.
Old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whether thou goest.
I have a question.
Sure.
Why would Peter be hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? Whereas before the crucifixion, he acted like he didn't know him. And he said he loved him.
Flesh.
Mm-hmm. But to say I'm hurt because you asked me three times, but you said that at the Last Supper that you loved me and look what happened.
Mm-hmm. Flesh. Mm-hmm. I don't have no other answer for his flesh.
Say it's a different words, but love is a different meaning. Terms. It's three different meanings of love. I can't say what they are now, but one mean one thing, one mean another thing. But he was trying to.
You're talking about the agape kind of love. Do you love me like that?
So I think he was trying to get to the nitty gritty of it.
Well, and then he do y'all know why he said what he said to him? Or what he was really saying to him?
When you say things three times, that's special. That has a special connotation. When you
actually, in the mouth of two or more witnesses, let anything be established. Mm-hmm. That's one cause. Mm-hmm. I think it's me. Yeah, I'm sure there's other revelations to it. But he dealt with him on three different areas. He dealt with him one with those that are young. He dealt with him the other part, those that were in the flock. And then this next time, he's dealing with him personally. And this is where he's dealing with him personally. He's telling him, look, you started out one way. You was able to do all of this stuff that you wanted to do and empowered to do. But there's going to come a time when you're not going to be able to do that. When somebody else is going to have to do this stuff for you and then carry you around. So this is God prophesying to him, telling him that, guess what? At one time you was able to do this. There's going to come a time real short here. That something going to happen to you and you're not going to be able to do all of this stuff that you used to be able to do. He's prophesying to him. He's telling him that he's going to be persecuted. He said, another one's going to gird you and carry you. Listen, did you see what it says? Carry thee whether you wouldest not. That means you're going to be arrested and taken where you don't want to go. He's telling them, one, I want you to deal with the younger people. I want you to be encouraging to them too. I want you to feed these, do all you can do there. He said, because there's getting ready to come a time when you are not going to be able to do all these things. So do all that you can do right now, because there's coming a time you are not, and then you will be taken into captivity. Did y'all see that in it? Now you do, right? That's why we're in Bible study.
I see that in there. I went back to what my mom would say, once an adult, twice a child. Mm. You know, it goes on to tell us during this life, you know, Jesus is speaking to us as children and sheep, because we are. And he's telling us that the ones who have grown in Christ, we got to tend to the babes and the little sheep, mm-hmm. people that have not yet grown. We got to keep them. And as we grow, there's going to come a time when, hey, we won't be able to do that. The ones we have been tending are going to have to tend us and do the things we once did. You know, that our lives and our times are just for a season. You know, we won't be able to do all this always. There'll come a time when we have to pass the baton. And we can see it now as we grow older. We're in that process now of passing the baton.
I ain't passing mine yet, so y'all
can see it. I'm passing it, but most of us, you still, like I tell people, my sister, prime example, I say, you can't do. She said, oh, I got the energy of the 20 or 30-year-old. I said, yeah, but you're 70. You can't do what you did when you were 20 or 30. And to make a point, I told my husband, I said, last night, she was like 8:30. I'm going to bed. I said, okay. This energizes the bunny. Yeah. So I think he's just preparing us. And that's what he's always done. He's preparing us for what's to come.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now I want you to take that in terms of you not being caught up and captive like he getting ready to do, and for us to maximize the time. Right. All right. But let's move on. All right. Verse 19. And this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. So he was telling them, buddy, you gonna die, and your death is gonna glorify God. Right. And that after he had spoken to these words to him, he said, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, see if the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayed thee? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Mm-hmm. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. Now he worried about John. But what he gonna do?
I know that's
you done told me to do all that. What John gonna do?
Okay.
Is that not y'all laughing, right? he trying to get the heat off him. He done got the prophecy. Now he's talking about, what about John? What he gonna do? Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? Follow thou me. Can I put that in modern day terms? Don't worry about somebody else. Worry about you. Mm-hmm. Get your mind off John. Stay focused. Okay. Each and every one of us has a job to do.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
If God calls you, he calls you to a specific task and job. Now, surely he's going to bring people alongside to help you. Right?
Right.
But you are not to focus on the people that's going to help you. You are to focus on God and the job that he has given you to do.
Amen.
So I want y'all to, again, put yourself in that. Get your mind off other people. The only thing that we need to do for other people is to do what?
Pray for them.
Encourage them. Mm-hmm. Intercede. Stand in the gap for them. And if the Lord tell you to speak to him sometime, he'll give you the words to say. Don't just go and say, I think I need to tell them this. Let the Lord tell you what to tell them.
Amen.
And what about money? Somebody standing on the side of the road asking for money.
Well, now that's a whole different ball game. It's just me. I'm doing this study, so a lot of times I have to. If you have an effective prayer life, I want you to listen to what I'm saying. If you have an effective prayer life, God will deal with you about what to do in those areas.
Okay.
If seriously, I have been in my car and thought about letting my window down. Yeah. And I was not able to let the window down. It was not time to let the window down. Now, I've been walking along, and then I saw somebody, and immediately in my spirit, it was like, go up to them. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even thinking about it. I saw them begging other people. But then I got the nudge to go over and talk to them.
Okay.
I was downtown. This guy was walking. He had stopped and saw somebody. He looked at me, and I looked at him, and I beat him to the punch. I just walked up to him. And he said, brother, man, I said, see, there you go. But in my but God gave me the words to say. I know that you have a need. And I gave him X amount of dollars. And he looked at me and he said, this is exactly what I needed to go get this martyr pass and get done what I needed. So if in our hearts, our heart of hearts, and our spirits are strong, God's going to lead us where it is. And that's how I flow with it. Now, I've made a commitment, and I'm not telling anybody else to do it, but I'm giving more this year than I've ever given in my life. Because I've been given much. And to whom much is given, much is required. I can't take nothing way out of this world anyway. I can't take it out. I can't take a pair of gators, lizards, ostrich. Somebody going to wear them shoes I got. Somebody going to wear my suits. My beautiful robes and everything else I got. Somebody else going to put them on. All I'm just saying is all that we have has been given to us to give. We are only stewards of everything that we have. So I'm just throwing this out to you. And when you're asking me about what do you do about the people on the street, let the Lord lead you how to deal with them. Because sometimes they just want prayer. They think they want the money. But then God can give you a right now word, and they'll walk off and they even forgot all about the dollar. They will. Yep.
Can I tell you what I knew to back up what he said? Mm-hmm. This young man came to me and asked me, and I really didn't have any money. Mm-hmm. And he walked away, and the Spirit told me to write him a check. Mm-hmm. I said, I ain't never wrote nobody a check to ask me, but I really felt bad, but I felt like he really needed help. Mm-hmm. So I called him back over and I asked him if he had any ID, and he said yeah, and we were right at Walmart's where they have a bank in there that I bank in.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I wrote him out a check and told him to go right over there to Walmart's to cash it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I never did that before.
So see, and you all who have been in this Bible study and been following along for a while know that that your prayer life will dictate a lot of your victories and journeys in God. And they can be really good, they can be mediocre, but a lot of that you won't know if you don't have the prayer life and be ready for it when it comes. If you're not sensitive to it, how you going to get it? I often talk about fine tuning a radio to get the station right where you need it. Right now when you're in the AM, you got to have it right on the money because it's just so much static and stuff. You got to have it right on the station. But in the FM, which is the Father's ministry, you can have it close and it'll start coming in. FM is you can get right there near it and boy, ooh, it comes in. You know, so there's a difference in being in the flesh and in the spirit. All right, let me move on. I only got a few more verses, and we got I want to do an overview in the end. He said, look, what you got to do with this, his next instruction was follow thou me. 23, then went this saying abroad among the brethren. Ooh, that the disciples should not what? That disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he should not die. But if I will that he would tarry till I come, what is that to thee? That went out. They were like, whoa, get your mind off somebody else and don't worry about what's going to happen to them. Follow Christ. Right? This is the disciple which testified for these things and what? Wrote these things that what? That we know that his testimony is what?
True.
It's true. 25. And there are so many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that there, that even the world itself could not not contain the books that should be written. Now, there's a lot that's been shared in John, so I just want to take these last few minutes. I got three, and I think I can walk you through them. All right. In the book of John, which we have now finished, and hopefully you all can understand, out of each chapter, Jesus was displayed a different way. All right. Next week, I bring y'all this piece out of my Bible, and it's got all of the verses and things. But in chapter 1, Jesus is described as the Son of God. In chapter 2, the Son of Man, the social Christ. Chapter 3 was the divine teacher. Chapter 4, he was the soul winner. Chapter 5, he was described as the great physician. Chapter 6, he was described as the bread of life. Chapter 7, he was described as the water of life. Chapter 8, he was described as the defender of the weak. Chapter 9, the light of the world. Chapter 10, the good shepherd. Chapter 11, the prince of life. Chapter 12, the king. Chapter 13, where the washing of the feet, the servant, described as the servant. Chapter 14, the consoler. He consoles them who are heartbroken, heavy laden. Chapter 15, my favorite, the true vine. Chapter 16, the giver of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 17, the great intercessor. Chapter 18, the model sufferer.
The model
sufferer. He suffered. Sufferer. When they slapped him, he didn't do nothing. I mean, he suffered. The model sufferer. 19, the uplifted savior. If I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto him. Right? He was hung on the cross. Chapter 19. Chapter 20, the conqueror of death. And chapter 21, the restorer of the penitent.
What was that last word?
The restorer of the penitent.
The one who repents.
Yep. And Peter did so, right?
Right.
That last 25, Jesus did many other things as well.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean before he ascended to heaven, he did more things?
Mm-hmm. Well, not only that, he was saying he did many things. Out of all the stuff that he did, the books couldn't contain them. Out of 3 years, he did so much. And all the way up to then, we don't know. John couldn't give you but so much. And so a lot of this, out of each one of these 21 things, you could take any one of them 21 and just run with it. And I'm just saying, he just talked about in each one of those chapters different ways that he was presenting. He said, I could have wrote some more books. about how he dealt with people, the things that he did that would make a difference. He said, and I've looked at the books that they put in, that they did not put into the Bible. That I don't see the lost books. I mean, I read all that stuff.
You did?
I did. I looked at them. But I'm just saying, we have not gotten all we can get out of these instead of trying to look at something that was left out. It's a.
That's true, too. I'm just wondering now what was left out.
I'm just saying.
So many things.
The majority.
That was Joe's statement, also.
Yeah, the majority of it all. The majority of it validates all of the rest of it. Some of it kind of takes you off on rabbit trails that you don't really need to go down. If we can somehow digest a good portion of what we have, we would be good. As we end this book of John, I have always and shall continue until you take me home, tell people you must read John. You must read it because this is God the Father on display in the flesh. This is them 21 things I gave you is the Father demonstrated compassion. Now, the suffering part, we do understand that part because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So, I mean, on that part, you have to understand that this was the part that God had to sacrifice to get us back. So, but I'm saying the majority of the rest of it, you know, God has compassion, he has mercy, he has grace, and then he wanted us to understand the part about the intercessor, right? The part about him being the bread of life. We got to digest him, take in everything that he was. I mean, I can go through all of them, but then again, I'd be going back through John. So, hopefully you all enjoyed a lot about that. If you got any other questions about it, I'd be glad to deal with it as much as I can. We are overjoyed. Now we've had Hebrews. We've had Romans. We've now had John. And we're moving into the power book. So now you know the tabernacle.
Yes.
You know from the tabernacle to Christ. You know the errors in the flesh that in Romans and how do you deal with the fact that we are fallen man that need to be redeemed, right?
Yeah.
Out of Romans. Now you found out the heart of God through John and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So now you're going to get the power to move out. In the old sanctified church, they said, lead out. You know about that, Portia, don't you? Portia know about that leading out. Lead out. Come forth with it, with your money, with your time, with your talent. Step out there. So that's what's coming up next. Tarry. Tell you be what? Endued with power from on high. So get ready, y'all. Oh, yeah. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. I see some of y'all getting excited, speaking in tongues, getting fired up. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. So listen, tell your friends, tell those that'll listen to you. You're about to get the power book. And if they can't come to the study, tell them to get on that podcast and listen to it because we're going for it. We're going to try to kick over every rock. We're going to try to, I'm going to get Portia in here. Portia know how to get some of them old idols, knock them down. We're going to. Portia now has seen some things, boy. I'm just trying to tell you, boy. Some folk going in some bad direction. But we're going to deal with it and try to keep it straight in the road, okay? Yes.